Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over the whole earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on earth. And the God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." This is the key word, subdue it, "and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the heavens and over every animal that moves or moveth in the earth." In Genesis we see the creation, right? We see what God purposes for himself. He wanted, the earth was corrupt, and he found something corrupt. We see the beautiful spirit of God going around it, create something beautiful, right? Create heaven, everything looks good. After he created everything, everything he said is good. From corruptible thing, that everything was corrupted, God, the spirit of God going around it, create something is beautiful. And this kind of creation, this kind of atmosphere where God saying everything is good, God wants someone to represent him on earth. Then he thought about us, about man. And he created man in the likeness of God. In his image, man was created. God, as we know, he is triunion God, the Trinity of God. And even the word in Hebrew, Elohim, comes in a plural form, not in a singular form, because that's his our belief, the triunity or the triunion of God. And God created man in his image. We all also had a triunity in us. We had the soul, the spirit, and the flesh. God wants someone in like his image that will present God here, will glorify God's image on earth. His purpose for man to be dominion, to subdue the earth. He be in control, as God is always in control. And he gave us a soul where we can feel things and feel the sorrows and the pain. And he also gave us a spirit, where the spirit, they look like they are the soul and the spirit, they are very connected, but the spirit of God can distinguish, or the word of God can distinguish between them, because in Corinthians, I believe, if the spirit of God will teach us the things of God. So by the spirit, we understand God's purposes in our life, and the soul that we have, also we can feel things around it, they're all contained in this body of flesh. This is the flesh. So this is God's purposes for man, someone who will be dominion, to subdue things and to control things, and he is the one that will present God's image in his likeness. However, we know from the story later on that sin came in. So while God purposes to man he be dominion and to subdue things will change. Will God say suddenly, oops, I did a mistake with man? God will not change his theme of thought. So sin came in, man has distance from God. Man is not in the same communion as he was before. Before God used just to speak with Adam, tell him. Now God, Adam is far from God. God has to go and bring a sacrifice. Adam puts leaves and some to cover himself and his wife Eve, that they wanted to cover themselves with leaves. They thought that they can escape God. Cover themselves, protect themselves from God. But no, God with his mercy and his grace, we can hear him walking in the Garden of Eden, and he covered them with the skin of an animal, that the blood has to be shed for an animal to be killed. So the skin has to be taken and to cover Adam and Eve. It's a type of the Lord Jesus. He went to the cross, he died for us, and he gave his blood for us, that through him we have salvation. So we understand that God has man since eternity. We go to that later. But he has created man, that man should be subdued things. But because of sin came in, everything was damaged. Damage has happened. Man is not in control. You see, a little flu now can kill a man. Before it wasn't. A little bite of a cat or something can cause poison or can infection into a man's feet. Man and woman. Not only a man, but the Bible says, when man, it is for all. Let's open Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 6. It says, "What is man that thou rememberest him, or son of man that thou visited him? Thou hast made him some little inferior to the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and hast set him over the works of the hands. Thou hast subjected all things under his feet, for in subjecting all things to him, he has left nothing unsubjected to him. But now we see not yet all things subjected to him, but we see Jesus, who was made some little inferior to angels, on account of suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he should taste death for everything. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make perfect the leader of their salvation through suffering." That's far. So here it is. If you read it fast, you might be confused, because you have a man who you remember, and then man that he is, everything has to be subject to him, but we don't see subjected to him. So which man he's talking about? David, this is taken from Psalm 8. David, I already had this imagining thoughts in my head, that David went out of his tent just looking at the stars. It was dark, and he looking up to the Creator, because David knew him as Creator, right? And Jehovah, the Elohim. We know him as the Lord and our Savior. We are more close. But so we look, is that the Creator that in Hebrews chapter 1 he said that he spoke in Son, that he could manifest God's glory? That Creator, what he has to do with man to remember him? What do you have? Because the word man, the first word man, it comes from the word Hebrew, that which means Enosh. And the word Enosh in Hebrew means something brittle and breakable and something weak. So he's looking at him, he's like, he examining man. What is man is weak. Man is so brittle. And man is very low because of sin. That wasn't God's intent. But that's what brought man to. Sin brought man to be very brittle and very Enosh, or Enoshi, if you want to bring it in the right grammar. But who are the Creator? What who you remembering? If this is the purposes for man, no. Then he brings the other man in that second half of the verse, and he says that the man that is in God's mind, it always was the Lord Jesus. That the perfect man that the Lord, the God has in his mind. God's purpose will not change. God's purpose for man is to rule and to subdue things. We tried men. We tried Adam. We knew that Adam sinned. Then you're gonna to know Abraham. We know the shortage of what Abraham sinned against God. We know even Moses, he could even control his lips. We're gonna bring Noah. He got drunk. Moses, he couldn't control his lips. Gideon, his heart was lifted up. Solomon, there's no other. He married so many women, and he brought adultery to the nation of Israel. Although we go to Solomon in a bit. He was a very wise man, right? He asked God for wisdom, and he fell. His sin was in his strength, in his wisdom. And so there's no one that actually, for years and years coming, there's no one that fulfilled the purposes of God. But there's one, the Lord Jesus, who was made little than the angel. Inferior than the angels. Why he was, what's meaning? That he became man. He took flesh. God manifest in the flesh. He came in account of suffering of death. For him to die, he must be a man. Why he has to die? Because the sacrifice has to be offered for the Lord, for your sin and my sin. He has to offer himself and to die there. And for him to die, he must be a man. Can be an animal or can be anything, he must become a man. He must identify himself with us. I sinned against God. I need solution. I can't reconcile myself to God. I need someone to do it for me. So this is the loving or the grace of God, that he himself, that I sinned against him, he came in the flesh. The word became a flesh and manifest among us, and we beheld his glory. We could see God where Moses couldn't. Could Moses ask God to see him, and he couldn't see God? He saw the back. We could talk to the Lord Jesus. We could see him, and he died on the cross, and he closed that gap. Now we have back, whoever believes in him, the relation that he intended to have with Adam, he have it with us. But then he says, for verse 11, for both he that sanctifies and those sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly will I sing thy praises. And again, I will trust in him. This is the word, I will trust in him. But the meaning there is that he took our cause, he became one of us, and he took our cause. And he, the one, could actually, he says, I believe in John 17, I sanctified myself for them. He could sanctify himself. We couldn't sanctify ourselves. We need him to sanctify us. To sanctify is to set us apart for God. He's talking to believers here. So people that they believe in him, we are set apart for God to declare his glory, to say what he has done in our lives. And he took part in this by him becoming a man, and he shared this with us. And he went through all suffering that we all go through. He knows it all. And he presents our cause to God that we are the all of one. The sanctified and the sanctified are all of one, meaning that he can take our cause, he identifies himself with us, he presents it to God, we are all of one. But the word of trust, we just read in Hezekiah, because Hezekiah is known to, in the remembering, we read of Hezekiah about what he did into the Passover. And how beautiful it was, the Passover, in the time that Hezekiah was a king. But I want to have a contrast between him and Solomon. See, Solomon, because the word trust. If I ask you now, if you go to the Lord, you ask him for, either you have an option, trust or wisdom, what you will choose. Choose one of them. If you want to choose wisdom, let's talk about Solomon. Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. Now, Solomon took a kingdom after his father David, where David trusted the Lord. So David had a trust in the Lord. Solomon took a kingdom that is ready for Solomon just to rule. Because his father David, who trusted the Lord, subdued all enemies and it was peace. And Solomon just had to sit down and use his wisdom wisely to rule and keep the kingdom. But with his wisdom, he ruined the kingdom. Idolatry came in, and what he got from his father David, one nation and one kingdom had to be two. He gave it to his son Rehoboam with two. And division happened. This is wisdom, what happened with Solomon. Hezekiah's trust was different, was more, I will go with trust. I will choose trust. Hezekiah trusted the Lord. He gathered people. Today, Brother Steve shared with me, even he called the North Kingdom to come and share the Passover, to join. This is trusting the Lord. Give you wisdom too, not only just trust. Trust will that you put all your things, all your what you think about, what you are burdened about upon the Lord, that he will take care of it. But even him, Hezekiah, the one that is known to be trusting the Lord, he fell in that thing that he trusted the Lord, because when Sanherib, the king Sanherib, came in, also Hezekiah, he went to the temple, I believe, and he peeled the gold, and he had, he did not trust the Lord in that minute. What I'm saying is, there's no one trust the Lord as the Lord Jesus, or trusted God as the Lord Jesus, as a man. I'm not talking, because the Lord, he's divine, and he's a man in the same time, when he became a man. But the Lord is only the one that could fill in that gap that God, that sin created, to bring us back to him. And he had to go through death. And that's the devil, and he might set free all, verse 15, all those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, were subject to bondage. I believe the Lord even himself has seen or show us some of his divinity work here. When he went to Tabitha, a girl that she was dead, right? Few hours dead. Probably her soul is still, or her spirit still in her, or she is still freshly dead. He went and he told them she's sleeping. She's not dead. And he went and he woke her up. Even the Bible says he woke her up. When you say woke her up, even in Hebrew, the word says woke her up is like someone who's sleeping. Like I woke, not to wake up from a dead, but from sleep. There's two different verses for it in Hebrew. So he considered her to be just sleeping, although she was dead. But then Satan worked harder. He said, well, what about Lazarus? 4 days. Let's see what you're going to do with 4 days. The Lord wept. You know, he wept because he saw when Lazarus, the one that he loved, he saw him in the dead. He saw the tomb and he saw that he's dead. 4 days. He wept of the magnitude and of sin what can do to man. That wasn't the intention of God. But sin came in. Death came in. Lazarus, 4 days. He's deep in the belly of the might of death. He is deep into his belly. Death swallowed him. And the Lord, just with one word, he could say, Lazarus, come up. He came. Even his sister Martha says, Lord, he stinketh. Well, I mean, what you doing? But, I mean, that guy, Lazarus just came and he walked. He show us a little bit of who he is as a divine person. So, but then Satan or the devil, he had in his mouth something that he never dreamed to have. He had the Lord himself. He went to death. But in Psalm 16, I believe, you shall not see you want to see corruption. The Lord will not see corruption. Satan, he was waiting when he saw the Lord. He said, oh, maybe he said, yeah, I got him. But the less he knew that he annulled death by the power of death. He annulled him. He rose up. Now, Satan, before he used to go to God. And look in Job. Satan, you before, this has to happen that he annulled death. God has to tell Satan, cut your foot from heaven and come complain about my saints. Job, Satan used to go to God and tell him, God, where you come from? From, what do you call it, forth and back and forth, in the width and length, height, whatever he of the earth, goes complain about the saints, especially Job. Well, Satan is right. I sin, and Satan will go to God, tell him, are these the people that you, look at them, they sinned. Where's your righteousness and where is your judgment and what you're going to do about it, because you know that the wages of sin is death and they have to die. Why don't kill them right now? So what God going to tell them? No, they did not sin. No, we did sin. So what God going to tell them? Well, I'm just going to forgive them. They're going to do some good deeds here and there. Yeah, but if they do good deeds, but that's not in your law. Your law says that they had to die, and these will not atone for their sin. They have to die. So God has to come in the flesh. He himself came in. He went to Calvary, and he suffered there, and he shed his own blood, because it has to be a blood without, for an animal, it has to be without sin, or without a blemish. The Lord without sin. Pure blood, the holy blood has to go shed for you and me. That this Satan now, if he ever goes up there, he will not go, but if he, God will tell you, see, this guy Milad that you complain about him, yes, I do understand, but the Lord has paid for him. He paid for his sins. He took his judgment on the cross and he paid for it. So, you have nothing to do with it, and don't come anymore into my presence, because I don't want to see your face anymore, because the blood has atoned for his sin, or his sins. Let's open Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. We read from verse 3 to verse 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the world's foundation, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love, having marked us out beforehand for adoption through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has taken us into favor in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of offenses according to the riches of his grace. Just a quick note about the word that he chose us. It's something that God did it. It is not that he chose me and he didn't choose someone else. It is God who since eternity, as he says in the verse, since eternity, when God was in eternity, when no angels even served him. Spurgeon, he says, when God was by himself, no angels even were created to serve God. No, even the sun did not have its rays going on. And no one, it is only by God. God thought about you and me. God chose you. Since eternity, in that time, God wants to have people. And in that time where Satan tried to take the seat of God, and God had to tell him, you know, my seat is too up high for you, but hell is not too far for you to go down there. And he sent him down there. So that's the sovereignty of God. So we were chosen. I believe we were chosen. God, in his intention, he wants to have people that they stand before him, if holy and blameless. He doesn't want to have, and for us to stand before God, we must be holy and blameless. For us to be holy and blameless, the Lord, as we spoke in Hebrews, has to go to the cross and present us before God, because we are in Christ, we are holy and blameless. But it's not only that we be holy and blameless before him, but he also say that he marked us before an adoption. He wants children, right? A relationship with children, sons, has to be in love. God, I have to have love, have to rest into something. God love rested on Christ. He see me in Christ. My love to God is in Christ. This is where our love is rested. I have affection to him. I don't just only feel for him, but I feel with God. How God felt about sin, I feel about sin. Not I feel for the sin, but I feel the sin. I feel with God about things. I understand him. There's communion. There's love. There's a two ways going a direction. Love going down from God to me. Love going from me up to God. This happened because God wants to have us for his own pleasure. We have to be holy and blameless through the Lord Jesus. But we did need redemption. That's why verse 7 came in. All that has to be happening through redemption. It doesn't happen just only because I walk good and I didn't steal. But it happened because of redemption. And if you notice, the verse 7 talks about redemption. When God created Adam and Eve, he wants someone to represent him, to be in his image. Redemption came after. We are not only think about going into this wilderness, that we only redeem people and that's it. This is nice, this is beautiful that we are redeemed and he died for us. But he wants us to have affection to him. He wants us to have fellowship with him. He wants us to start to have Ephesians, we are in the heavenly places where Hebrews are in the wilderness. Gather both of them together. We are in the wilderness. We both should be sitting in the heavenly places, holy and blameless before him. And we start doing it from now, not until we wait for to be with God. We will be one day when we go to heaven and be with the Lord. We will be holy and blameless. Guarantee that. But he wants us now to be holy and blameless. That's why the verse 7 came, the redemption. First, let's be holy and blameless. Yes, we have it through redemption, but that's not the most important of God. The blood in the first, the blood came into mention in Genesis, not right away, came after. But God wants to establish relationship through the blood. But he wants men, he wants the heart of yours. He wants you to believe in him. If you don't believe in him, then you're missing that gap where the Lord has closed. You're missing that. You're going to always be anxious and worried about things. But once you believe in him, and you have that love, that you love him as a father, not as only as David was looking at the Creator and the Almighty as Abraham, and Moses look at him, Jehovah Elohim, I am that I am. But we look at him as our father. Mm-hmm. And let's just walk in a life that in the wilderness right now, that we get him praise and glory and affections for him that will be ever flowing, as he said to the Samaritan woman, it's going to be your heart, whoever drinks from this water, his heart, rivers of flowing water that coming out of the heart of us for his praise and honor. Mm-hmm.